Chapter 16, Path of War. Finn continued reading the quest prompt.
Congratulations, you have completed the first step of the primordial quest, Path of War. By killing another Powered in a moment of choice, you have chosen the Path of War. May your enemies breathe their last, and may the tears of their children salt their burning flesh. You have also gone above and beyond in your performance of this quest. Not only have you killed the man who killed your love, you mutilated the body until it was unrecognizable. Barely anything is left for his family to bury. This will drive his family to such depths of sorrow, it will mark them indelibly. As their pain burrows deeper, they shall share their rage and sorrow, and thus fan the flames of war. Rage and bloodthirst are encouraged in those who walk the path of war. Well done. Completion score, S. Do you wish to collect your rewards? You have unlocked a new quest, Path of War 2. Meet other hidden requirements to access the quest, Path of War 2.
The first prompt congratulating him was a bit, shall we say, heavy-handed? Indelibly mark them? Also, he hadn't meant to desecrate the body. Snatching the breath out of that man's lungs would have been enough, wouldn't it? As severe as the words were, Finn just couldn't find it in him to be bothered by what he'd done, or even how it was being described. He hoped the man's family did feel just a fraction of the pain, just a sliver of the loss he was suffering through right now. Again, he mentally shrugged. Two people died every second. He just moved the fucker to the front of the queue. If he was being honest, what was really bothering him was that a lot of the concepts he was reading about seemed to mirror games he'd played or stories he'd read. While that was still undeniably incredible, how was that possible? There were also many words he didn't quite get in context. Primordial? It was starting to get frustrating. He'd always had an analytical mind, so had hated not understanding things. He forced the feeling aside and focused on the last line. Curious more than anything else, he mentally completed the quest.
Know this, to complete a mortal quest at your current state of being, a minimum completion score of C is required. You have earned C-grade reward, 250 experience points, 50 magicka, B-grade reward, 375 experience points, 75 magicka, 25 copper coins. A grade reward, 750 experience points, 150 magicka, 75 copper coins, 1 common first rank constitution orb. S grade reward, all lower grade rewards doubled, plus 50 nobility points, 50 of 100 to noble title. Special reward for quest type, title. Primordial of War, Fledgling.
While it hadn't been his intention to completely mutilate the body, he had to admit it looked like going full psycho had its benefits. Jokes aside, knowing there were secret elements to a quest was fascinating. That was in line with some of the better games he'd played before. That made it clear that not only were the quests important, but how he finished them mattered as well. The prompt said the rewards were increased because of his bloodthirsty execution of the quest. At that thought, Lauren's bloodied face came to mind, pain shooting through him with the electricity of a raw nerve. His breathing grew faster, but he forced himself to close his eyes and heave a great exhale. Later. He'd deal with it later. For now, he needed to learn more about this new world. The levels of accomplishment from the quest, or grades, he supposed the right word was, were based on a letter system, like school for some reason. Maybe that wasn't too strange. He was reading English, after all. There was obviously some kind of translation, oh hell, might as well call it magic, going on. The lowest reward was experience points. The next highest reward was copper coins. Money? The A-grade reward was something called a constitution orb, and the highest grade reward, the S-grade, doubled all the other rewards. which seemed pretty great. It also gave him something called nobility points, and took him halfway to some goal. Focusing on that line didn't give him any more information, so for now, that goal would have to remain a mystery. Also, something troubling occurred to him. The initial prompt about the path of war had said both rewards and consequences were increased. It had even capitalized consequences. There weren't any consequences he could see through rereading the prompt. That was when he noticed the next waiting window was blinking an ominous red. With a slight furrow, he mentally clicked on it. Ah, those consequences. Choosing the path of war has consequences. Consequence 1. Your relationship has worsened with the house of the ghost of the Lotus Familia. Minus 5,000 relationship points with the house of the ghost of the Lotus Familia. This has worsened your relationship from distrust to anger. Whereas before, members of the house of the ghost would merely doubt your words and bemoan your actions, now your mere presence may drive them to true anger. Oh. Looks like he did have to take some partial responsibility for his beef with the Familia. Killing that blonde bastard had triggered some kind of cosmic reaction. If he was reading this right, his mere presence would infuriate these people. But House of the Ghost? Emo much? And triggering spontaneous anger? Was that even possible? Even with magic? Finn thought a bit more. It was true that nearly every woman he'd ever dated would get spontaneously angry sooner or later, but that was just because they were hungry, horny, or sleepy, right? Certainly not because of anything he'd ever done. Finn puffed his cheeks. Maybe spontaneous anger wasn't a crazy reaction to him. In either case, what was more important was his enemies having a name now. Lotus. If killing that D-bag had really triggered a war with some mafia family, then who cared? The quest said he'd chosen the path of war, so it was kind of in the name. He'd been on the winning side of the last war, and by his hairy brown balls, he'd win this one, too. Finn circled back to the douchebag Familia thing. He didn't really get down with true crime shows, and he'd never heard about the Lotus Familia before. Just who were they? Finn shrugged. He'd buried his share of bodies during the war. More than his share. Hopefully this Familia were just a bunch of sister fuckers and uncle daddies. It wouldn't be the first time he'd gone toe-to-toe with some inbreds in the South. Chalking the war up to a problem for future Finn, he went back to his rewards. The first one was straight-up video game. You have earned 2,750 XP. The amount was doubled, just like the S-grade reward had said. Before he could even check to see if that was enough to level up, he also got a red prompt. Leveling locked. All XP banked. A bit underwhelming, Finn thought, but there was more to come. What happened next made his eyes widen in surprise. His next two rewards were accompanied by two pops. The noise was caused by a duo of smooth white globes appearing a foot above the bed. They looked like nothing so much as perfect spheres of milk. Their surfaces even looked wet. The pair of spheres slowly rotated above the place. They both also had a faint white aura around them, like lamp posts on a foggy night. With no hesitation, he reached out and touched one. It's not like I'm not going to touch it. The milk ball disappeared with another barely audible pop, and two golf ball-sized orbs dropped into his hand. Finn stared at them in surprise. It wasn't just that these objects had materialized in front of him. It was that both were larger than the original white sphere. It was like Time Lord technology. It's smaller on the outside, he muttered to himself. These new orbs were warm to the touch, and they looked like they were made of clear crystal with an undulating amoeboid glow in the center, the color of a golden rising sun. Something in the light seemed to call to him, almost like the light was reaching out, trying to connect with him. Not fully understanding what he was doing, and without moving, something inside of him reached back. He almost thought he could see a nearly transparent blue tendril extend from his hand into both spheres. The light in the crystal orbs flared in sync. The clear outer shell sublimated into vapor, leaving the golden center in his palm. A moment later, those began to flow like water, melting before his eyes. The liquid didn't fall through his fingers. Instead, it was absorbed through his skin. In just 2 seconds, barely a breath, both were gone. A great warmth, almost bordering on heat, spread down his arm and into his chest. His whole body began tingling, a faint vibration that transitioned to an intense alertness that felt like he'd freebased opium. A prompt, the same bright red color as a stop sign, appeared. Warning! Over the next 4 to 8 hours, your body will be changed by the energy being absorbed. The power available in both this world and your body are far too low to accommodate adding these 2 constitution orbs. Your constitution will be gradually increased, and your body will undergo severe strain until the process is complete. It is recommended that you choose a safe place to rest. Without sufficient resources, there is a high chance of swoon and death. Good luck. Finn didn't complain. After everything he'd been through, a simple and resigned thought shot through his head. If it ain't one thing, it's another. The tingling turned into pain. The pain descended into agony. It was an anguish as bad as anything he'd ever physically endured. It was exponentially worse than all of his current injuries put together. His arteries coursed with lava, and his veins were frozen into ice. Finn bared his teeth like a wounded animal. His eyes widened to their max, blood vessels standing stark against his white sclera, until one burst, spilling scarlet across the landscape. His jaws clenched so hard that he couldn't scream. With his hands locked into claws, Finn began seizing on the bed, his motions so frantic that even his smart mattress couldn't keep up, and the back of the bed began knocking against the wall. The machine checking his vitals began beeping like crazy as his heart rate skyrocketed to 188 beats per minute. His EKG danced the lumbata set to a rapid, high-pitched beep. The pain was too much, as unknown magic forcibly injected into every cell of his body, the equivalent of a large lake poured onto desert sands that had never seen a drop of rain. The magic of the constitution orbs forced his body to improve at a rate previously unknown to mankind, something that would normally take years of daily, dedicated exercise and perfect diet would happen over the next several hours. It just wasn't something either his body or mind was prepared to handle. Even more importantly, the changes being forced upon him, while mystical, were not without logic or consequence. In civilized areas of the labyrinth, no mortal would try to increase their attributes without sufficient energy or resources at hand. As Finn had neither, his life was in jeopardy, and he brushed against the gates of death. If he were not in a hospital, this would have been the end of his story. Instead, due to pure luck, his fate was changed. Your first interaction with an item of the labyrinth could have brought death or delight. You have balanced on the edge of fate, avoided danger, and found reward. +1 luck. Error. Pseudo-mortal status detected. Full status page locked. Assessing. Assessment complete. Judgment has been made. Memory and evidence of this increase shall be purged. Your status page shall remain locked as the necessary requirements have not been met. The increase to the luck attribute shall be maintained, however, and luck is now functionally unlocked. As the windows erased themselves from his view, his mind was altered as well. From his perspective in the days to come, these series of prompts would have no impact upon him. But as had been said, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. In an established world of the labyrinth, one point of luck might not even be enough to win a single coin while playing tavern dice, but on an energy null world, merely having the attribute functionally unlocked gave Finn access to metaphysics of the labyrinth. His mere presence began to warp the threads of fate. Humans without their own connection to the labyrinth could only be woven into his tapestry. Finn, of course, knew none of this, and wouldn't have understood it if he did. Instead, he lost consciousness, an evolutionary defense mechanism to trauma, and his unconscious body sighed in relief. His seizures stopped, but his limbs continued to jerk periodically due to the forced advancement of his body. In just seconds, those involuntary motions began to ease even further. After passing out, his subconscious mind stopped instinctively resisting the changes occurring, and his vitals stabilized. Heart rate and breathing normalized by the time the crash team arrived in the room. His body continued to change, but to all outward appearances, Finn just appeared to be a sleeper with a bit of restless leg syndrome. When his nurse leaned over the bed to better assess him, her body passed through the remaining white sphere as if it didn't exist. It remained invisible and intangible to her while it floated above Finn's body. The members of the crash team looked at each other in confusion. They'd expected a patient at the edge of death, not a man breathing peacefully in his bed. The four of them turned to his nurse.
What should we do?
Like all true and smart nurses, she made a judgment call. Wake up a peacefully sleeping doctor of unknown personality type with stable vitals, or not. In almost any other situation, the nurse would have risked a doctor's wrath. But Finn's luck came into play. Of the infinite branches of probability that would stem from the nurse's binary choice, leaving him to sleep had a higher chance of playing out better in Finn's favor than paging the ICU doc on call. On the energy null Earth, there were not any other sculptors of fate close enough and strong enough to push probability away from the path that would benefit the sleeping man. That was why the labyrinth automatically and casually stimulated a specific synapse in the nurse's brain, providing her with what she thought was her own original thought.
We follow protocol. Patient is stable. Vitals are normal. We will closely monitor Dr. Ever's condition Q1 for the next 4 hours and respond accordingly.
All four rapid responders heard her slight stress on the word doctor and nodded knowingly.
This wasn't their first rodeo. There wasn't a basic bitch among the lot of them.
Waking up the on-call doc could always bring an irate baby with a medical license down on their heads. Having the patient be a doctor, too, meant double the potential for trouble. Those that knew the charge nurse better were a bit surprised that such a stickler for the rules was going to let this slide, but hey, it meant more downtime for them. First rule of every hospital was if you got to go sit down, you sat your ass down, quietly easing out of the room with the stealth of ninja parents wanting a well-earned glass of wine. They filed out, even picking up the crash cart slightly to not catch the lip of the doorframe. None of them had been enabled by the labyrinth, so not a one of them saw the white sphere hovering above Finn's bed. Just outside of the room, the charge nurse continued to observe her patient. Though she'd said they wouldn't notify the on-call doctor, her own professional nature was rebelling at the manipulation triggered by Finn's unlocked luck stat. Standing there, she began to second-guess her earlier decision about not calling Dr. Yiying. She was just about to do so, but then Finn let out a small snore. It was actually more of a snort. For some reason, the noise reminded the nurse of an old girlfriend she'd never fully gotten over. Valerie used to do that all the time. That happy memory changed the course of history. No need to call Dr. Yiying, she thought. After all, I can watch the patient just as well as she can. She checked the patient's vitals again. Not like there's anything really to see here, the nurse murmured, her shoulder passing through the floating white ball like it didn't exist, which for her, and everyone else not connected to the labyrinth, was true. After checking to ensure the auto doc was connected and would provide whatever food and sustenance her patient might need, she just shook her head fondly, still lost in the memory Finn's luck had manifested in her head. She closed the door, thinking about whether she should muster up the courage to call Val, and left her patient lying in the golden rays of the setting sun while magic forged him into something new.